being a girl dad is super interesting. At least with her, it is. I've never seen a little girl trust her dad so much. She will climb up the stairs and just jump off and just expect me to catch her. I could be across the room and then she'll yell daddy and then she'll want me to run to where she is and just catch her. So I'm like, okay. But we had guests. I told Brandon this. We had dinner guests a couple of days ago, and they had a little baby, and Joel's very much a caretaker. She very much loves to help and serve with the little ones, even though she's a littler one. Just the smaller ones, she loves to help. So the little baby was eating, and her and Levi were in the living room just playing, and I hear is a thump. Joel got hurt. It wasn't that serious. She just got pushed, but she'll milk it. So she just comes in from the living room, just whining, going, and then our friend's baby goes, and then Joel's like, I'm here. Like, just stops crying. It forgot she was hurt. And then 2 seconds later, she remembers again, and she starts going, and just comes to me. She's like, hi, Daddy. I need hugs. So she's a cute little girl. I love her to death. But I think it's incredible to see how the little ones, like children, love to help and love to take care of others. And it's a constant reminder of how in the Bible it tells us to be like children. Because children, their biggest concern is never what can I gain from a situation. It's more how can I help in this situation. And even though as a parent, sometimes I feel like it's more of a hindrance. I'm recording now. But I feel like as a parent, I feel sometimes like my child wanting to help feels more of a hindrance in her little mind and in her little heart. She's doing the best that she can to help. She's using the gifts that she has, which is to make a little baby laugh, to help at that particular moment. She does this thing where if she sees a baby crying or whining, she'll like grab her face, stretch it out, sting her tongue out, and just go, silly face. To try to make them laugh. But she uses what she can to help. So this goes into my sermon title, which is Gifts for God's Glory. Gifts for God's Glory. And the big idea, the overall theme of this is going to be that God has entrusted every believer, every single one of us, with gifts, whether they be normal gifts, like my daughter using a silly face to make a baby laugh, or spiritual gifts, but not for personal recognition, but to serve others in his strength so that all glory goes to Jesus Christ. The reason, going back to my daughter, the reason why she makes other kids laugh, and that's the reason why she does, she wants to make little children when they're crying laugh, it's because she sees her mom do it week in and week out at church. Because she sees me interacting with some young adults, and when they're going through something, I will sit down and talk to them. And my first thing to do is listen, but then try to find a window to make them laugh. Making them laugh is something that my wife and I mirrored to our children. We use the gifting that God has given me and my wife and use it for his glory. So if you could open up your Bible to 1 Peter 4. I'll say it one more time. 1 Peter 4. If you have a paper Bible, you're awesome. If you have a phone and the Bible apps in there, that's also good. All right. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to start at verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have a gift for helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So, if we go down through the spiritual gifts, we know that we have word of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith is a gift. There's gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those are the spiritual gifts, according to the Bible. It's extremely important that we understand that the spiritual gifts that we have are something that we are all supposed to function in one or two or three or even or just one itself, but we all have the capability and access to use these spiritual gifts. But above that, I want to focus on the ones that we use in our day-to-day basis. My specific gifts that I know the Lord has given me is I am an encourager. And it took me a while to get here, but I will listen. I will listen and encourage anyone that comes to me. Because this is just the way God designed me to be an encouraging person to someone who may feel neglected or abandoned. To help whoever comes across me and make them feel like there's value in them. I want to share a story. So, I have a friend. I'm not going to say his name. I have a friend. He has been going through it. He has been struggling through it. And at the start of it, on the start of all these struggles, he did not find Christ. He had no idea who Christ was. So, as I kept talking to him, and as he kept calling me, he's like, I don't know why I keep calling you, Edwin. I'm like, I knew. But the first thing I was taught when it comes to helping someone in need who is just not give them the answer, but guide them to the answer. So I knew what it was. God, it was the Holy Spirit within me. It was the gifting that God has given me and blessed me with to be able to encourage and love someone and show them the value within themselves. My friend didn't know that yet. So he kept calling me, and he kept venting about everything that was going wrong in his life, about his depression, about his anxiety, about his thoughts of suicide, about everything. And through the entire process, I just kept telling him the same thing over and over again. I just kept listening, and I kept telling him, I'm sorry that you're going through this, but know that you have value, know that you are loved, know that God is with you. And know that even if you feel like you die and no one would miss you, know that I will miss you. Know that I will always love you unconditionally because God loves me unconditionally. And I kept repeating that to him over and over again. As things kept getting worse for him, as more thoughts of suicide kept getting in his head. And then one day, he just came to church. He went to church, and he had no idea what he was doing there, but he just kept showing up. He didn't feel anything. He didn't feel a supernatural power, a supernatural healing. He didn't feel any of this. He just showed up, constantly week in and week out. And then as things kept getting worse, and the thoughts of darkness kept looming over his head, I kept saying the same thing. God loves you. I love you. I will always be there for you. There's value within you. And one day, it clicked. I think his algorithm, like, he was because when you're depressed, all you do is lay down in bed and just scroll through your phone. Well, at least nowadays, you scroll through your phone and go through TikTok or Instagram. And I think, because I would meet him in person, I think me saying that God loves him constantly over and over and over again, it picked up in the microphone and his algorithm picked up, and he started getting Christian videos on his phone. And he started praying without me telling him to. He just started praying. And then one day he called me and he was like, "Hey, I've been praying." I'm like, "Oh yeah?" I'm like, "That's great." He's like, "How have you been praying?" And he told me what he was doing. And he told me, he was like, "Yeah, I started with 5 minutes. Now I've been like doing it for an hour, 2 hours. Like, I want to keep praying." I'm like, "Great. Keep praying. Keep going." And then as he kept praying, even though he was still going through all these things, he said, "Now I see a light at the end of the tunnel." And I kept encouraging him through it. I kept saying, "God loves you. I love you. There's a purpose for you. God has a plan." And as he kept going through this, he got to a point one day where he was like, "Hey, I want to give my life to the Lord." And he did. And then he told me, "Hey, I want to go to a therapist." I was like, "Okay, great." So he went to therapy. He went to a Christian therapist without even realizing it. And then he calls me now every single day, still. And he tells me everything that he's praying, everything that he's doing, where he wants to serve, where he wants to go to. He told me, he's like, "Yeah, I talked to my therapist about you." And I'm like, "Oh, hopefully good things." He was like, "Yeah, just talk to him about how you prayed for me, how you kept encouraging me." And he said that you're a really good friend. And then he told me yesterday, he was like, "Edwin, you're my friend. You're one of my best friends. But you're also my pastor." And hearing that from someone that I've known most of my life, who has seen me when I wasn't saved, who has seen me make error after error, who has seen me when I was going through depression, he was also there, who has seen me going through all of this, call me his pastor, really hit me in some type of way. But all of that was able to occur because the Lord used the gifts that I described, the spiritual gifts, but he also used the gifts that he assigned to me just as the person that I am. I want you right now to look inwardly and just think about the gifts that you have. Yes, we have spiritual gifts, but what are the giftings that you have? It's very obvious with Jordan, which is he learned to play the guitar. The gifting is not him playing the guitar. The gifting is him having the thought of, "I'm going to learn to play the guitar because I want to be a blessing to my friend." Because the reason why he did it was because he wanted to be a blessing to Stephen and Becca. It wasn't because he wanted to learn the guitar. It's because he wanted to be a blessing. His gifting is being such a caring and such a loving person that he's willing to learn something completely new so that he can love someone else. It's selflessness. Brandon, same thing. He has a gift to be to just immerse himself in technology and learn programs so that he can be a blessing to others. There's spiritual gifting in both of them. But there is also the gift of selflessness, of self-sacrifice within them. I want you to look inwardly in this moment and just see, what is the gifting that the Lord has for me, aside from the spiritual? What is the gifting that he's equipped me with, aside from the speaking in tongues and prophesying and praying for healing? All those things are great. All those things are necessary for the kingdom of God to be elevated into the next realm of holiness, the next realm of revival. But the things that sustains an individual who is not saved, if the giftings that are inside you, that is the thing that is going to change the world. Well, change a person's life for the better. My friend got saved not because I could pray in tongues. My friend got saved not because I was able to tell him, like, hey, look at all these demons I casted out. Or, hey, look at this person I healed. He got saved because he kept hearing constantly over and over again that he is loved. He is taken care of. He was encouraged by me. And that was because of the spirit that is within me and the gifting that the Lord has given me. So our gifts, my point one was, gifts are given to serve and not to store. All of us have gifts. And don't want to sound harsh, but it could be quite selfish and sinful to store those gifts. Can you imagine how many families would be impacted if you were to go out into the world and just tell them, like, hey, God loves you. Or, hey, I think, random example, this person was a carpenter. My brother knows. And he knows how to build things. So imagine the blessing that he would be if he just starts going to random places, knocking on doors, and he's be like, hey, the Lord told me I need to build something for you guys. How can I help you? It's crazy, isn't it? It's just a weird concept of Christianity, of putting our gifts to good use. And here's the tricky part, and this is something that I wrote, is like, these gifts are for not for personal status or gain, but to build up and bless one another. God didn't give us these gifts so that we could say, look at me. He gave us so that we could say, how can I help you? These gifts are not trophies to admire. It is a tool to use. And I wrote a saying, a screwdriver that never leaves its toolbox is useless. That is a well-known saying. In the same way, the gifts that the Lord has blessed us with that go unused does not fulfill its purpose. So I ask you to look inwardly. Let's look at our church at this moment. How can you use the gifts that you have and apply them to this church so that we can be a blessing to others? Who are some of the people we can reach with our gifts to let people know that our church is one that blesses others? Off the top of my head, off just the dome, for me, I could make our church number and our phone more available for people who need to go through some type of counseling outside. Brandon studied that. Brandon could help with that. I'm not trying to put you on the spot saying do it. I'm just saying. Yeah, he just got a baby, so I'm not trying to put him there. But our pastor elders could do something like that. If someone's going through some dark times, they can just be an ear to listen. And someone needs help building something in their house, or someone needs help fixing a car, I'm sure we have people equipped here to be able to help them. I'm sure there are job fairs we can promote. There's a lot of people out there that don't have jobs, that are homeless. I'm sure there are job fairs that we can promote, help sponsor, get the word out there for them. Just things like that. I'm not trying to put our church in the spot and say we should do all these things, but what I am saying is we all have giftings that we are able to use. Second point is this. Gifts must be used with God's strength. Gifts must be used with God's strength. How many times in our lives Have we started something? And I'm speaking about myself at this moment. Have I started something and then quit immediately? My wife, my wife and I, and mainly me, I'm not going to say Carrie does it because it's mainly me. I hate regimens and routines in the sense of, like, if I know something becomes a routine, I will stop because it bores me. And it's the same thing will happen with our kingdom. If we don't use our gifts with God's strength behind us, we will get burned out. For example, serving with God's strength provides for those who serve, whether it's behind the scene or setting up chairs, cooking meals, helping their neighbors. We're reminded not to rely on our own strength. Why? Because our energy runs out. We get tired, we get burned out, and we even become resentful. But when we lean on God's strength, our supply will never run dry. That's why a lot of church hurt happens. It's because we sometimes as leaders fail to recognize when people are being burned out because they're using their own, they stop from using God's strength into using their own strength. I've seen this happen so many times where a person comes in on fire for the Lord and is excited, and I see it mainly in the, trying to put my wife in my wife on the spot in this sense, but I've seen it happen a lot with people in kids ministry where they love serving the children. They come in and they're super excited and they're energetic and they have fun and they enjoy that first week, first 2 weeks, and then they have one bad week and then they're tired and then they're like, I don't want to be around these kids. These kids suck. One of them spat at me. One of them threw up on me. It goes from I'm enjoying this because I'm doing this to serve and help to I'm just a babysitter, because they stopped using God's strength. They stopped using God's anointing to go and pursue this thing that they loved at first. That person that I was talking about was me. A kid threw up on me. It was gross. Oh, I don't mind my kids. When it's someone else's kids, it's different. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to get too gross, but like when Levi was born, I was carrying him and he threw up and it went in my mouth. My initial reaction wasn't, ugh. It was like, oh, Carrie, your milk. But in the situation in the kids' ministry, the kid threw up next to me, and I just was like, I'm done. I walked away from a child, and I had to come back because I was like, I got to clean him up. But, yeah, it's different when it's your child. But I got burned out in kids' ministry because even though I love the kids, even though I love doing worship with them, even though it's fun watching them run around and throwing them in the air, I realized that as I kept doing it, I was using my own strength and I was using my own will to push myself to do this more and more and more because my wife needs it. But also, I was using my own strength and I got burned out. I stopped enjoying it because it became a chore rather than I'm helping others be blessed. My third point in this is gifts ultimately bring glory to God. The end goal of every give is God's glory. Peter reminds us that the purpose of our gifts is not recognition, applause, or even personal fulfillment. The ultimate purpose is that people see Jesus more clearly. Our gifts are the spotlight, not meant to shine on ourselves, but to illuminate Christ. Our gifts are the spotlight, to shine Christ. Like I share in the beginning, in the story in the beginning, a friend came to Christ not because of me, not because of the words that I was saying, but because the words that Christ spoke to me when I was in that place. He understood that when I was speaking, when I was speaking to my friend, my friend understood that when I spoke, I wasn't speaking in the sense of, and he said this to me, I know when you were telling me all this, it wasn't you telling me, it was God using you to tell me that he loves me. That's the important thing. Our gifts bring glory to God. At some point, whoever you are helping, whoever you are aiding, is going to see that. May not be at first. At first, they may see you as the blessing. But they're going to see, as time goes on, that the blessing was flowing through you. So when we serve faithfully, Jesus gets the credit. When someone uses gifts at a for hospitality or welcoming or here even in kids' ministry, like the kids will feel Christ not because of you being there, but they'll feel Christ through you. When someone teaches the word, truth takes root. The glory doesn't go to the servant, but it goes to the Savior. That's why I love the fact that Cheeto came up here at the beginning. I thought that was perfect because it showed his personality of, and it displayed the gifting that he has, which is to be a loving individual wherever he goes, to share God wherever he goes. And he even claimed it. Costco and Sam's Club are his territory. That's incredible. What's your territory? Where do you claim? Right now, I'm claiming this soccer field that I'm at. I'm coaching a high school team. Yeah, this is the second season I'm doing it.
Wow,
cool. It's, yeah. I love those kids, but every time we have practice, we start with prayer. We go around and just like, hey, what are you thankful for this week?
What school is that?
CCA. So like, what are you thankful for this week? How can I pray for you? And then we go, and then they share, and then we go about it. We go to games. We pray before games. We pray on the bus. We pray I just try to implement prayer wherever I can with these kids. And they're starting to see and recognize that I'm someone that they can laugh with, have fun with, and be vulnerable with, but also come to when they have problems. God used the gift that he gave me at one point, which was soccer, to be able to influence and reach this particular group of kids. We had a game this past week, and they lost. It's not because they were awful. They lost because we only had 10 players. You're supposed to have 11 players in the field, so they were tired. And the other team had like 21. So they were like rotating. But at the end of the whole game, they came to me. They're like, Coach, how do we do? And I was brutally honest with them. I was like, y'all sucked. No, I didn't say that to them. No, I said, you guys, for 10 players, you guys did well. I did say that to them after in the bus just to be funny, and they laughed. But I know, I was like, yeah, you guys did the best you could with the players, you know, with 10 players, and I'm extremely proud of you. You guys put in a lot of effort, and you couldn't, as your coach, you couldn't make me prouder. I love every single one of you. And they were just happy. But that's who we need to be in Christ. It's just find where you belong and where you fit in and just plug yourself in there. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to close this out in prayer. But I hope my message and me sharing this message on gifting helped. Because as I was writing it, I wanted to really go in the direction of the spiritual gifts and praying in tongues and doing all of it and just going about that. But the Lord reminded me, for the world, the gifts that I have given you naturally is what impacts them at first. And then the spiritual comes later. Because the friend that I told you about earlier, I'm going to baptize him. Cool. And then I'm gonna for sure make sure he speaks in tongues. But the thing that caught him, the thing that captured his heart, was the fact that he knew that someone was there who loved him and was there for him constantly. Amen? Amen. So if you could bow your heads. Sorry, I kept you, Jordan. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this amazing church. It's an incredible group of people who love you to no end, who have sacrificed and given themselves throughout their lives for your glory and for your kingdom. God, I pray that as we as a church look into our hearts and look inwardly to see where your kingdom can, how your kingdom can grow, God, I pray that we utilize our giftings. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we grow this church through the love that you have given us so that we can love others effectively. Let us be a blessing to this community. God, remind us that as a church, we need to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.